We are in the midst of a series called Launching Your Faith. And Launching Your Faith is a faith alive, an active faith for the 21st century. This morning we're going to talk about communion, and we are actually in section 2 of this 12 lesson series. And this first part, we had several lessons called Anchors Away. And this section is called Sail On. And we're going to look at some of the essential doctrines or some of the essential foundations of our faith. But I pray that God will open eyes and hearts for a fresh understanding this morning. Do not see this lesson on communion in just the traditional way. Because you can come every Sunday and participate in communion in some places, and it becomes a religious rote tradition. How many know that God's interested in quickening our heart by His Spirit, by a living and active faith that is not a religious tradition? How many want more than tradition? So what does Jesus do during communion? What does He do for us? He opens our eyes to see Him. He opens our hearts to receive Him in a bigger way. And so we've provided notes for you, and there's just a handful of fill-ins on that note page, and I will do my best to make it obvious what those fill-ins are. So, is Christianity, my question to you, is Christianity simply a series of religious traditions? People burn out on empty religion. Amen? Anybody in this room ever get burned out once or twice on empty religion? Been there, done that, tried that, don't need that, thank you. Amen? But Christianity is a personal, living, vital relationship with Jesus. Personal, living, every word important, vital relationship with Jesus. Life-changing, life-transforming. When you walk with Jesus, church, can you say with me, He changes you forever. And aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Religious tradition wasn't what held the martyrs to the stake as they were burned for their faith. It wasn't religious tradition that held the martyrs in place of attacking ferocious lions when they were thrown to them because they loved Jesus Christ. It wasn't religious Jewish tradition that held Peter upside down, is what it says, or some say, as he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy of his Lord. It wasn't religious tradition that altered the face of history. It's not religious tradition that is going to change anybody today, but a living, personal, vital relationship with Jesus Christ where we are changed forever. Why do we gather in church? Several reasons. Information. Hopefully we provide some information that you can find useful. Hopefully we give you something you can take home and go, okay, maybe I didn't understand that before. But secondly, inspiration. That's a little more important, isn't it? I get inspired by coming to church, and that's an important thing. Has anybody besides me been inspired by being here this morning? I'm inspired in the presence of the Lord. I hope you are as well. Thirdly, there's an impartation. We take time for the Lord's Spirit to be imparted to His people. So our hearts and minds are quickened and our bodies are healed. And so we take time for the river of God to flow. There's an impartation that takes place. But importantly, we want, number four, please say the word with me, transformation. He's not done with us until we become just like Jesus. I'm going to ask you several questions this morning. Number one, how many in this room love Jesus? Number two, therefore, how many want to become just like Him? What He says, what He thinks, how He acts, what He does. Transform us, Lord. But how are we transformed? We are transformed, and here comes your first fill-in. Big yellow word. We are transformed by His life. And that's what communion is. That's what communion does in our life. All right, let's talk about something called the sacraments of the church. You have your notes in front of you. Sacrament, sacrament, what is it? By the way, it's a Latin word, sacramentum. And that literally, and this is in your notes, that literally is an oath, a vow of allegiance. A consecration. Consecration. There's an old word, but it means I am devoting something to a certain purpose. I have consecrated, some people have special cars that nobody else drives except for just them. It's a classic hot rod that's consecrated to a purpose. Well, in our lives, we are consecrated to Jesus for His purposes. Consecration. A solemn obligation or a holy act. So what is a sacrament? A sacrament basically is an outward act directed by the Scripture that results in my receiving His life, capital L-I-F-E, His life, His presence. An outward act that results in inward life. We participate in a physical action which releases a spiritual transaction by His supernatural work. Come on, isn't that what you want every single day of your life? I want the Holy Spirit to be free to move in me. I want to respond to Him, walk with Him. So I have Him release into me a greater sense of His presence, a greater knowledge of what He's doing. His Word speaks to me and I keep getting changed and I'm alive in my Lord. That's what I want. And that's what communion is. Sacrament. Now, religiously, I know many of you can answer this question. Religiously, traditionally. How many sacraments are there? Two. Right? Baptism and communion. But if we look beyond what is traditionally taught, and I'm not just trying to go contrary to what's traditionally taught, but if you take a look at what is the meaning and what the Lord does and accomplishes, how do we follow His instructions? Everything that we do in response to the command of the Lord should release His supernatural life within us. Everything we do. Baptism, communion, repentance, holy matrimony. Holy matrimony is a sacrament of the church. If you're married, look at your spouse and say, "You're part of my sacrament." A holy consecration. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. If you're not wholly consecrated to your spouse, you better come to repentance and come see me this morning, because God wants you to come to repentance so you're devoted to that person. You hear me? I don't want you receiving judgment on your head. I want to see you released. But healing, there's a sacrament of life that should be passed on as we receive His healing. How many are there? Well, there's preaching. There's the teaching of the Word. Hey, how many thank God, and hopefully this morning, there's an impartation of His presence as we preach and teach the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. Somebody say amen. And He teaches us through the Word. Your daily reading, the time in your Word, you're washed by the water of the Word. That's a sacrament of life, if you will. Giving to the Lord. Do you know we pray blessing for you every time we open our service, blessing upon those who give, blessing upon their offerings. Because as you give, it's an act of consecration to the Lord, an act of devotion to the Lord. And God says, "I'm here to bless you." Now, if you want me to turn into a faith preacher, I'll have you walk right up front, put your $100 in, and I know He's here to bless you. I don't do that. We believe you give as an act of faith, and as you give in an act of worship and faith, God meets you. If you don't give to God, then the Lord needs to talk to you a little bit more from the Scripture. But there is a heart of giving that God blesses and moves upon, and He wants to bless you. Someone say, thank God. We receive, now listen carefully, we receive a fresh impartation, here's your next fill-in, of His presence, come on, every time we gather. Did you come expecting life this morning? Come on, did you come expecting to see Jesus? Did you come expecting that today is another opportunity to meet together with my friends, and today is another opportunity to be blessed. Today is another opportunity. Hey, I wonder what Jesus is doing. I don't want to miss out. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Hey, how many know that today's a precious day to be blessed by God? Today. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 tells us, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am where?" Come on, I'm where? In the midst of them. I really want to lift this beyond what is just a rote recitation of Scripture. Do you understand that Jesus Christ is right here in this room with us this morning? He's in your heart. He's here to do something significant, something supernatural in your life and mine. Now, the miraculous thing about God, there are millions of believers all around the earth worshiping Him, and He's there as well. He's omnipresent. One of those big words that says He's just plain everywhere. But do you know that He's here? Do you know that Jesus is here this morning to meet with you? In the private parts of maybe your heart, some of you might be thinking, He doesn't see me. I'm here to tell you, He not only sees you, He knows you, but He brought you here so He could tell you that this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's true. I am there in the midst of them. That's what He says. He's here every time we gather. There's a divine encounter with Him every time. Are you expecting Him to do something fresh and alive in your life today? Let's go to the Scripture. If you brought your Bible, if you have your iPad with you, your smartphone, a Bible application, if you have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there are some in the back. I know Bill would be happy to get some for you. If anybody raises your hand, if you need a Bible, there are some here. But let's go to the primary text of Scripture that deals with communion. And I'm speaking of 1 Corinthians 11, 23-32. 23-32. And the Scripture declares, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. How many know that he wasn't on the scene when Jesus broke bread with his disciples at the Last Supper? So God has given him a revelation. God has given him a revelation that is then confirmed by the other apostles and the other disciples. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat." Now, in the snapping of the bread as it's broken, you can understand the lashing of the whips and the snapping of the leaded or bone or rock-ended whips that tore into his flesh. He broke, his body was broken for you and me. But he gave thanks. He break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Now, this is the New Testament. We talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. But realize what you're talking about is a last will and testament of the Creator to give to His children those things that are His promised provision. And so in His New Testament, He has declared, "I have life, power, anointing to give to you. So this is something you do in honor of me who has done this on your behalf. My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." It is a covenant with God. And His blood shed ratified that covenant. How was the covenant? Come on, look up here, everybody. How was the covenant sealed in and ratified? He shed His blood. The Bible says, "For sin brings death." The Bible says there is no remission, no removing of sin, unless there's what? Death. And blood shed. How do you see that there's death? Blood must be shed. That's why you can't just get along by baking a dozen cakes for the Lord or pushing an egg around the parking lot with your nose. Or it's not going to be how many laps you can run. It's not what you can do. It's what He has done. And what He has done is the ultimate sacrifice. As He hung on the cross and He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And He died in our place. He was buried, and then 3 days later, He rose again, just like the song said this morning. Come on, anybody besides me grateful for the resurrection of Jesus? Where would we be without Jesus' resurrection? And He did it for you and me. So when you drink the fruit of the vine, you are seeing and remembering the blood of Jesus that He shed for you on the cross of Calvary. And when you drink that, you are saying, yes, I receive what you have done. Just like we've been saying all morning. I receive you. And I agree and make that covenant with you. And I remember it, Lord. I remember that I made a covenant with you that I entered into by your blood. Jesus is the one who signed the contract and ratified it with His blood. And we come along and say, yes. Thank you, Lord, I receive. Turn to each other and say, thank God for the blood of Jesus. So this passage is more than a recitation. Do this as often as you drink it and remember of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. What He wants is that we're right. What He wants is that we're in good relationship with Him. What He wants is that we're in good relationship with one another. And then we come together in communion, and it is a celebration. Communion. Come. Union with God. Come. Union with one another. There is a union in this place. Do you already sense it this morning? Turn to each other and say, I like you too. Number three, Jesus fulfills the Passover. Let me just give you a few thoughts. In the Old Testament, there was the Passover lamb. The blood was shed and of the lamb and sprinkled on the doorposts. And remember, the death angel passed over the Israelites before they went right out of the land. So we celebrate Jesus, who is the Passover lamb who died for us. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. John 1, 29, behold, remember John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus is that Lamb of God, the final sacrifice. The Lamb of God who was our sacrifice and indeed the final sacrifice. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by what? By tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. So blood was shed and put on the doorpost of the house so God's judgment and death for sin would pass over. All right, you tracking with me? Because of sin, God decreed that the firstborn of everyone in Egypt was going to die. Remember the 10 plagues, and this was the final one. Because of sin. Now, God allowed Israel to substitute a lamb for the firstborn, and they put that blood on the doorposts. Jesus is God's firstborn son, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. I'll get it here. He was the Lamb of God. And the Lamb slain. That's your fill-in, all right? The Lamb slain. So He's the firstborn son, if you will. And His blood was shed. So what do we do now? We ask the Lord to wash us clean by His blood when we repent of sin. You following with me? All tracking? So Lord, wash us clean, and that judgment deserved passes over. Thank God Jesus shed His blood so we don't have to shed ours. All right. So the Passover lamb was inspected, you guys, for 4 days. Remember, Jesus was inspected from His triumphal entry into the cross. Pilate looks over at Him and says, I find what? No fault in this man. There's no fault. He's spotless. It had to be a completely spotless lamb. You couldn't bring the decrepit lamb from the flock that was going to die anyway. You had to bring your best. How many believe you give God your best? Amen? So the Passover lamb had to be spotless, and that was Jesus. Number three, a lamb was ordained for every house. How many know that everybody needs Jesus? the answer for the world is not Muhammad, Buddha, and Jesus is a nice guy too, but it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We love people of other persuasions, but there's not a personal, intimate relationship, a living relationship with Jesus Christ that they have in those religions. They need to give their lives to Jesus Christ. A lamb was ordained for every house. We need to receive it. Now watch, the whole lamb was to be consumed. How many know you can't pick and choose the pieces of Jesus that you want? That's why when you give your life to Jesus, your whole life changes. Amen? If you just added going to a church service on Sunday morning, might be a little fun, might be an awful religious tradition, and it's not going to get you there. Surrender your whole self to the whole Lamb of God. And that's how we go. Take all of Jesus and all of His Word. Do not settle for less. Say this with me, please. This is important. Do not settle for less than the full provision of the cross. The Passover meal provided healing and strength. Point number 5 on your notes. Psalm 105:37. He also brought them out with silver and gold. There was none feeble besides among His tribes. Besides is in the King James. I'm sorry. This is the New King James. Jesus is our healer. Say that with me. Jesus is our healer. 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes we are healed. Now, number 6. Following the Passover meal, Israel was to flee from Egypt in haste. Remember, they got all the silver and gold from their neighbors. Get out of here! How many know in the Bible, Egypt is a type, a picture of the world? And when you give your life to Jesus, the object of life isn't to hang around and keep messing around with sin and temptation, doing everything you used to do. But Jesus said it's time to get out of the world. Now, we still live in the world. We're not living as monks in a monastery. We still live in the world. There's still temptation. But we don't choose to go there. Jesus changes your life. And the Spirit of God changes you. How many, you don't have to give me the details, but how many used to do some things you don't do anymore? Yeah, what were those? No. But we all have those things, right? Because He changes us. Flee the world's influence, attractions, and temptations. All right. Why participate in communion? Number 1, to remember the judgment that Jesus took on our behalf. He took it in my place. There's your fill-in. Jesus took the judgment for me in my place. If you don't personalize it this morning, communion will simply continue as a tradition. See it that He did it for you, for me. The Scripture shows us, now I want you to listen carefully to this verse. The Scripture tells us Jesus was disfigured and beaten beyond recognition. We could take time, we could take hours and speak of the depth of what happened at that pre-torture. Nobody had ever been pre-tortured to the degree that Jesus was pre-tortured before He went to the cross. This was a vicious, cruel form of punishment. And God saw to it that Jesus came in history at exactly this time. It was a brutal thing. A torturous thing. And Jesus did it for us. I want you to listen to a verse and watch a verse out of the living. It's right here. We'll go back to it. See my servant, beaten and bloodied. Isaiah 52, verse 14, out of the original living. It's very descriptive. So disfigured, one would scarcely know it was a person standing there. Now, I believe in your notes I've indicated verse 15, and it should be verse 14. The whole section is good. But see my servant beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know it was a person standing there. So he shall cleanse many, and says many nations. Now, I want you to just take a moment, and I won't dwell on this forever, but can you imagine at the cross where someone who knew Him or had known of Him might be looking and saying, is that Jesus? I can't tell. I can't tell that's Jesus. I don't even recognize Him anymore. The man up on that cross has been so brutally tortured and beaten, I can't recognize that it was Jesus. And yet, this bloody, disfigured, marred Lord says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And he's going, oh, what I've done is so bad, he can't forgive me. And Jesus from the cross says, Father, forgive them. And Lord, I can't forgive myself for what I did years ago. And the Lord from the cross looks at you, and he died, was resurrected. But he still looks at you and he says, forgive them. Forgive them, God. Don't hold it against their charge. We understand in the book of Revelation that when we have sin, the advocate with the Father is Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus said, I went to the cross for them, Father. Don't hold this against their charge. And the devil comes along and he says, you're rotten through and through, and you're wicked and you're a sinner. And Jesus says, whoa, I took it. Get out. Because the victory is in Jesus. But when we come and we look at communion, we go, okay, it's once a month, we do it again. Here we go. Oh, fine. Do this in remembrance of me. Thanks, Lord. See instead the power of the Lamb of God. Jesus himself says, I want you guys to do this. And every time I have you do this, I want you to remember what I did. Don't forget. Passover lamb, the final sacrifice for sin. Understanding and remembering releases us in thanksgiving. We count our blessings. The scripture says, do this in remembrance of me. Why do we do it? Number two, to proclaim his death till he comes again. We remember his judgment. We remember and proclaim his death. We reckon on all the benefits of his death. If you had a parent who passed with some sort of means. Now, some of us didn't have any means when our parents passed on. But if you had some significant means when your mother or father passed on, then that released into your life the benefit of what they had gathered for you. And Jesus said, I've got victory. I've got life. I've got forgiveness. I've got benefits. I've got healing. I've got peace. I've got encouragement. And it's all released to you at my death and my resurrection. That's what he does for us. The testator has died. Now the inheritance is ours. How will we receive? Will we receive? 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Why do we participate? To receive his life. Come on, say it with me. To receive his life. He's the living bread. Through him we are strengthened. Our spiritual hunger is satisfied. He imparts his life. Now, I don't have it all written down there. Listen to the scripture. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They're dead. This is the bread that comes down from heaven that one may eat and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And some people turned away from him because he sounded very cannibalistic. Because they didn't see it in what he was trying to provide. As the living Father sent me, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. He who eats this bread will live forever. The early church had the rap, the bad rap. They're cannibals. And Jesus is trying to say, look at me, and I've got the full provision for you. Receive Jesus' life. Not just a theology lesson. I'm going to go real quickly. Now, just listen to me carefully. You can either write notes or not. But I'm going to, I don't want you to get hung up on this. But so you are aware, there is a whole faith persuasion that teaches that the bread and the wine literally are the body and blood of Jesus. That word is called transubstantiation. Transubstantiation. Some teach that the elements become by faith when you partake the body and blood of the Lord. And that Jesus is spiritually present with the bread and the wine. That's called consubstantiation. Whole faith groups believe in that. And then you come down the pike to most of the Protestants, they just believe it's symbolic. Just symbols. I'm here to tell you that getting hung up on the theology lesson misses the entire point of what Jesus was all about and what he was after. Because the entire point is, by faith, he is present. And when you partake of Jesus Christ and these elements that represent him, you partake and ingest his fresh life, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. And there's a whole spiritual transaction that takes place with God that lifts it from theology lesson into life and healing and vibrancy and health. And you come into the church and you go, I don't feel so good today. And communion and the experiencing of it, you receive Jesus afresh and go out of here built up in his presence. There are people who teach and believe that Jesus is coming back. We all believe that. But they'll come back. He's coming back during a communion experience. Now, why do they say that? Because when the two on the road to Emmaus were so discouraged, remember, Jesus comes along and walks with him after his death, burial, and he's resurrected. And they're not tracking on that yet. They had just broken bread with him four days earlier. And he's walking along with them. And they go, man, we thought he was the guy. And remember, Jesus all of a sudden gives them all the scriptures. How many would like to have heard that sermon? And Jesus was talking about himself from the Word of God. And all those things happen. And then they beg him to stay. He says, oh, okay, I'll have the meal with you. And in the breaking of bread, their eyes are opened and they see Jesus. They see him. He disappears. And can you imagine? And their hearts, they said, their hearts are hearts burned with fire. Yeah. So how many are ready for a burning heart after communion this morning? So what do? We ratify our covenant. That's the fourth point, with God. We bind ourselves to Jesus in commitment and surrender. We pledge to commit and obey him. Say it with me. He is our Lord. There's your feeling. Lord. All right. How do we participate? Number one, be a believer in covenant relationship with Jesus. If you're here from another church this morning, we don't require you to be from our church here in this room. We have an open table. But what's essential is that you have a surrender to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, today is your day to have that. Be right with God with no known sin against him. You eat worthy, you partake worthy through the blood of Jesus. Then be right with each other. There's all sorts of scriptures about that, especially 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Love, say it with me, please, covers a multitude of sin. Sometimes we need to go to one another. Sometimes there's somebody not in the room that you need to go get right with. And so many people traditionally say, you can't take communion until you're right. No, you get your heart right. Commit to the Lord as part of this covenant that you'll get it right on your first opportunity and then partake of communion. Now, listen, if you go to people to try to make things right and they don't want any part of you doing that, you've delivered your own heart. You've repented before the Lord for any difficulty from your own heart, then you have to leave it with him. Does that make sense? Don't avoid communion. The participation is important to God. Get right. There's your fill-in so you can participate. Just a few minutes left and then we're going to have communion. What are the benefits of communion? What are they? Life from Jesus, fellowship and unity with one another. Say it with me. Communion. Come union. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Living bread, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you'll eat and live forever. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about more power and understanding that he is the living bread, and we participate and share a fellowship with him and a communion with one another. All right, number two, divine health and healing. Psalm 105. He brought them out with silver and gold. There wasn't one feeble one beside his stripes. How many of you think that in a tribe of, whether it's 2.5 or 6 million people, and there were probably that many, not having one feeble, sick person after they'd participated in the Passover lamb was pretty miraculous. I didn't hear enough people. Amen?
Amen.
We're strengthened by his presence and his life. Number three, what we really come to see is say it with me, we see Jesus. Fresh insight, fresh revelation. He took bread. He blessed. He broke it. He gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they saw him. I'm going to give you one more fill-in. You're going to have time to take just a few minutes to do your faith activator. It's a very simple thing. And the final comment goes to this. Come to see Him. There's your fill-in. Come to see Jesus. Come to see Him. Come to receive Him. Come to believe Him. Receive His fresh deposit of supernatural life, blessing, healing, and power. Come to communion, expecting to see Jesus. That's why we take communion. That work for you?
Yeah.
All right, if you'd hand out the Faith Activator pages, just take a few moments. If you're a guest with us, you're welcome to participate in Launching Your Faith. It's an online series. The other five lessons that have gone before this are at gracechristiancenter.us. These fill in class notes, if you will, class notes, and the Faith Activator pages are simple summations. And if you don't agree with the things we've taught, you can write that down and share why. Just please disagree agreeably. But it's all here for you. And anybody can start launching your faith at any time. We'll take just a couple of moments, and then we'll pass out the elements and participate in communion together. Raise your hand if you still need a page. All right. Roxanne needs a page, you guys. And we thought we'd celebrate communion as long as our topic was about Holy Communion this morning. So we will participate together as you complete those. What we will do this morning, we will do in remembrance of Him. Amen? What a great Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give you a few minutes more. Now, again, those of you who no other people who might really benefit from teaching of the foundations of these truths from the Word of God, we encourage you to share with them about it being online, and it'll be a blessing no matter who starts, when they start. That's why it's online for them. Raise your hand if you're all done with your faith activator. All right, a few people left as they distribute the elements. Again, if you're not from this church, you are welcome to participate as long as our Lord Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. If you haven't made that commitment in your life, I urge you this day, this is your day to be able to do so. Follow me in prayer, folks. Lord Jesus, I understand that you are the Savior, the only Savior. I'm a sinner. Wash me clean by your blood. I repent of sin, of the sin nature, and the specific things I've done. And right now, by faith, I receive your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you as my Lord. As my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, showing me, leading me, and helping me. In Jesus' name. Amen. We will participate in the elements together. We begin with the bread, of course, that represents the broken body of Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful for your body broken for us. That by your stripes we are healed. You took the bruises. You took the battering. You took all of it for me, for us. And Lord, as we participate this morning, it means more to us than ever that we do this in remembrance of you. If you need either the fruit of the vine or the wafer, would you please let us know? Raise your hand if you still need. All right, right here. Yes, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. All right, Lord, you are so good, and we give you the praise. We give you our worship. We give you our adoration. Lord, as we come, I pray and believe, and in my mind's eye and my heart, I see healing breaking out across the room. Where healing is needed, where peace is needed, I see peace being restored. Where your encouragement is needed, I see that. We do this in remembrance of you. Let's participate together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where may have been in times past, some of you, communion, a very somber experience, so many different names for it, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, and it basically the Eucharist, and in the Greek terminology, it's basically a celebration. And so we give praise to God as we participate and remember Him. Lord, as we consider now the fruit of the vine, that covenant is ratified by your blood. And when we partake saying, yes, yes, yes. We sign the covenant with everything we have and are, we give to you, and we receive your cleansing blood to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are in covenant relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and delivering us in Jesus' name. And they all said, let's participate together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I believe that this day we have seen you and seen afresh what your purpose is and what your heart is as we participate. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. We give you the praise and we give you the thanks in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Would you stand with me, please? And if you'd raise your hands for the blessing, I pray that as you leave this place today, you go with encouragement, that you go knowing how loved you are by the Lord. I think he's shown himself that way over and over and over again this morning because he's so good. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.